triumphant in Christ. Acts 13:43-52 is our message for this afternoon. The Apostle Paul, at the close of his ministry, looked back at those years of ministry work in the mission field of the Roman Empire, spoke a word of reflection. You know, we all go through life, and at some point in time in life, having experienced many things through life, we take time to think, reflect upon life itself. And for the Apostle Paul, it was at the close of his life when he sought to impart to Timothy the working of God in his life, so that Timothy, his spiritual child, may continue in that biblical pattern, that the church may continue to strive, to thrive in every subsequent generation as a witness till Christ returns. And so Paul says to Timothy, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, thou hast fully known," there is a feedback, can the PA crew please reduce the, the Apostle Paul says, "Thou hast fully known my doctrine." Right? The doctrines are the principles of life, the principles by which we live our lives. So, you know, we learn as we grow in life. And there are certain principles that we have learned, and Paul learned them from the Word of God. And he says, "You have known, Timothy, my principles of life, my teachings, my manner of life, how I conduct myself, my purpose." Right? His life was given over to the service of God through Jesus Christ. And his purpose in life was undistracted. From the time of his conversion, you would see how he would devote his entire life in the service of God. And it's so interesting, isn't it? When we study the life of the Apostle Paul, man of God, you see how that there is that vibrant spiritual life that is in that man. And this is the kind of life that God would want us to have. A life that is vibrant, life that is full of strength before God. And he tells us, he tells Timothy, "You have known my faith, you have known my long suffering," right? Those times when I had to be confronted with difficult people and how difficult it is to exercise patience, and how you have seen that we have done so. And charity, charity is the outworking of God's love. And patience, the enduring of difficult circumstances, persecutions, oppositions to the Word of God, oppositions to the gospel work, afflictions. He tells us that he, you know, throughout his life, he has gone through many journeyings for the Lord. Many times he had to travel to give the gospel to various places, and how he suffered hunger, how he suffered thirst, how he suffered imprisonment. Well, it's not easy for us to see in comfortable Singapore. Right? One day you go and check your bank account and say, "Hey, it's almost zero." And you say, "What am I going to do for the next meal?" Well, this was the kind of life that the Apostle Paul lived. He gave his life to the Lord, to serve Him. And he goes through afflictions. And there were times when he had to miss a meal. There are times when life was tough in a foreign land. And what persecutions I endured, he said. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Out of them all, the Lord delivered me. He says that life was not easy, but I lived a triumphant life in Christ. And he is introducing that life to young Timothy. You know, there is a chorus that we often sing during those difficult times when we had to endure, not knowing what will be the future before us. I like to sing this chorus whenever, you know, you don't know what is ahead. Have you heard this? I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. If I look to Him in prayer, darkest night will turn to day. I know the Lord will make a way for me. Shall we sing together? I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. If I look to Him in prayer, darkest night will turn to day. I know the Lord will make a way for me. Oftentimes, when he was in that journeying of life, many unexpected, unforeseen circumstances would come his way. And his life was in danger, plagued, afflicted. But he knew, and he said, that I kept faith with the Lord. And out of it all, he says, my Lord delivered me. And so he is teaching us that life of faith, which he wanted to impart to Timothy, because we are living in Satan's world. Life is not easy. There is always an opposing force that is always driving us away from God, from worship, from prayer. Every time you want to walk with God, right, there seem to be that kind of disturbances that comes in life. But the Apostle Paul says, out of it all, the Lord was there to see me through. And so he says, he tells us that there is that deliverance that God gives to his people. I would want to define that deliverance as an active word signifying the workings of the invisible God, making a way for him through his life since his conversion. You know, if you have committed your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord says to you that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He will be there for you through life, thick and thin. You know, when we make covenants in life, oftentimes we say it today, and the next day we are ready to renounce it. We said, this is what we will do. But the next day, you know, we are going to say, oh yeah, it's so tough, so difficult. But there are some covenants that we make before God, before God's people, that we must take seriously. And the Apostle Paul, well, is saying to us that he took the call of God to walk with God seriously. He took this Christian life seriously. And he endeavored to stick on. And you know, oftentimes we have no strength to stick with God. We often fail the Lord. But what Paul is saying here is this, that God was the one who stuck with him. God was the one that was present with him all this time. So this is what Paul is saying here. Out of them all, the Lord delivered me. But life was not so easy, he tells us. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You want to live for God? You want to do the commandments of God? Well, you will be the target for discouragement. But evil men, he tells us, and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So Paul has imparted his faith to Timothy. And now at the end of his life, he says this, that this faith is real. This faith is living. This faith is able to give you strength. And this is the redemption work of God throughout human history. And you are a part of it. Be not discouraged. Walk with him. Tarry with him. And so he says that while he lived this life, many afflictions came to him at Antioch. Now, Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra is what we will be, or what we have been studying over the last week. And this place, Antioch, is in what we call Asia Minor. You remember? Antioch Pisidia. This is the map that we showed you that day. 160 kilometers from the coast. So they have been traveling all the way from Antioch in Syria, all the way they went by sea to Cyprus. Then from there, they went 280 kilometers to the sea coast of Perga. And then they went all the way up to this Antioch in Pisidia. And that's where God is going to use them. And that's what he is saying here. So difficult time. So difficult time. Life was so tough. I wanted to give the gospel, but the people were always opposing. So difficult. At Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. These were the places that we saw in our map. Right. And what do you do during those times when life comes before you, with discouragements facing you? Well, Psalm 91 is a very wonderful psalm that assures us of the presence of God in our lives. And this is what I believe Paul was saying to Timothy. You're going to go through life, and life is going to be tough, but God will be with you. Abide with him. Psalm 91 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom will I trust. Do you have that faith to trust in God? Well, the Lord says that we ought to, when we put our faith in the Lord. Right? He drives out all fear from our heart. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. You know, the fowler is just the guy who comes to catch the little birds, right? Sets a trap. Right? In life, you know, there can be enemies. Set a trap to trip you. You may be asked this week in your workplace to make a decision. And you know that if you choose wrongly, you're going to break the law. You're going to be in trouble. Okay? The noisome, the snare of the fowler. from the noisome pestilence, but he shall cover thee with the feathers, with his feathers, under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by noonday. So if you have faith in God, then your heart will be restful, you know. You will not be afraid, right? You trust that, you know, the terror that comes by night, God will see it and God will help you. And the arrow that flieth by noonday, well, God sees it, right? Nor the pestilence, you know, the pestilence comes walking, lurking, right? So for the Apostle Paul on the missionary journey, he didn't know what is the next thing that is going to confront him. Danger will come from every angle, every possible quarter, right? But he trusted in the Lord. Because 1,000 shall fall at my side, 10,000 at thy right hand shall not come nigh thee. Only with thy eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. You know, when he was there trying to preach the gospel, the people, the enemies, you know, wanted to skin him alive very often. Have you been scolded before for sharing the gospel? Has anyone shouted at you before, or, you know, threatened you before for preaching the gospel? It's not a pleasant experience when you are being threatened. You said you cannot preach. Get out. Difficult. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. So the Lord wants us to know, as Paul was embarking on that journey of faith, God was with him. You know, God sent his angels to minister to him, to protect him. And that is what the believer must know in his life, that God is with you, you know, and they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the poisonous snakes, right? The ferocious lion. Right? Ah, they will not be able to hurt you. God will be there to protect you. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. Now that's a very interesting word, you see. Paul says God has delivered him all the way, right? Why is it that God was always there for him? Well, because he was there for the Lord. He was doing the will of God. He was at the center of God's will for his life. Doing the will of God. And that's why, you know, the Lord says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him, and with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Well, this was what Paul was trying to share with Timothy, you see. If you have God with you, he will see you through life. And this is the victory that Paul wrote for the believers. He says, but thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and make manifest the savour of his knowledge. The perfume, the word savour, right? It is his, the perfume of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perished. We are, well, like a sweet perfume to the people we meet. You know, as you give the word of life to men and women, you find that God is going to take that word to give them faith, to save them, to strengthen them, to take away their fears. So wonderful. So Paul says, thanks be unto God, which causes us to triumph in Christ. Remember last week we said in our outline, when Paul preached to the church in the synagogue in Antioch of Pisidia, no God's hand in history, no God's Son, Jesus Christ, the only Savior, and receive the forgiveness of sins through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Have you done that? Do you know the God of history? If you have known the God of history, that's the God that has created us, the God of this world, or the God that created this universe, and He manifests Himself in His Son, Jesus Christ, the only Savior of the world. If you receive Him, you will find forgiveness of sins. How do you receive Jesus Christ? When we would be willing to repent of our sins and to have faith in what Jesus Christ had done for us on the cross, how He died for us, taking our sins, bearing our sins on the cross, how He shed His blood to wash away our sins, and 3 days later, He rose again from the dead, triumphant. And so, this was what Paul was doing in Antioch, in Pisidia, right, 160 kilometers from the coastline, right, preaching the gospel in the synagogue. That was what happened last week. And this was the background in verse 43 of the text that we read. When the word was being preached, some were saved, right, but there were oppositions. So the congregation was split, right? It was broken up, divided. Many of the Jews and the religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, those who understood the gospel, those whom God has given to them the truth and have understood. They knew that this is life, cannot move away from it. Do you have that kind of experience? I have that kind of an experience one day while I was in the Bible college, sitting there on the table, and I was asking myself, you know, you feel as if that's a prison sitting there. You can't move. But you know that this is the best place for you. And what was I doing? I was studying the Word of God, memorizing Hebrew and Greek words. And I know that, you know, what's going to happen, and I ask myself, what's going to happen to my family? I'm sitting here doing this day in, day out, all my time. Wow. It takes a little bit of courage, you know, to do that. But the Word of God came to me. I understood it. Where else can I go? Like what Peter says, thou hast the Word of life. If you have known Jesus Christ and His Word and His purpose for your life, well, submitting to it can be tough. You know, because it means sacrifice on your part. But, you know, you realize that whatever that the Lord expects you to do, He will return you 100-fold. And that, you know, the Lord tells us we are to understand. So the Apostle Paul understood the rewards that God has for him. But there is a price to be paid. Right, this was what was happening here. Right, there were oppositions. Right. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. What do you mean by that? Well, to continue to serve God, and not be discouraged by the oppositions that would come, and persuaded them to continue. And the next Sabbath day they came, and it's so interesting. You know, when the Spirit of God moved, and you are willing, you know, to stand your ground, what happened? The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the Word of God. Ah, you realize that God has a purpose to save men and women, you see. And the opposition to the Word can be so great because a man who is saved is plucked from hellfire. Right? Everlasting torment of hellfire. That is so terrible and grievous. And that is the battle that Paul and Barnabas were called to do. Anyone who believed would be taken out of hell, you know, and given a ticket to heaven. And so, we have two thoughts that we bring before you.
Oh, I didn't put the two.
One, salvation of the appointed. Now, there were some who were saved while he preached the gospel the first time. But there were a small gathering. And then what happened? They continued when opposition came. Right? Paul and Barnabas, the Bible says, waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Ah, it's so sad, isn't it, for someone to reject everlasting life, reject heaven. How could it be? It's such a blessing. Why would we want to reject it? How is it that this man and woman somehow, you know, is unable to see the truth, the blessing? And so, here our text says, they judge themselves unworthy of everlasting life. So Paul says, we turn to the Gentiles. And it's very interesting. Paul's strategy was to preach the word in the synagogue. And while he preached the word in the synagogue, he found that there were many Gentiles who were curious and who would come and listen to the word. And it's interesting how here our text says in verse 47, for so has the Lord commanded us, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be a for salvation unto the ends of the world. So the Jews in general in that synagogue didn't want the gospel. They rejected straight off. And Paul says that we must not stop. See, verse 48, very interesting verse which I would like all of us to understand, because it will encourage us to be a soul winner. It would encourage us, you know, to take a tract packed and give it to someone throughout the week. Someone, as you pray, you know, God would lay your heart to speak to that person or give that tract to that person. Verse 48 says, "And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." So what Paul is saying, or what Luke is writing here, is that there are men and women whom God has chosen to eternal life, that they would be given the blessing of heaven. But you don't know who these people are. And your mandate is simply to go out there and share the word. And those whom God will save, right, you will find that that word will be effectual. Okay. So recently, we have been putting together a lot of track packs, piles and piles of them. And, you know, we said we are going to flood, we are flooding the estate. Huh? Well, what are we doing? Basically, to bring out, give out the word of God so that the whoever may receive have that opportunity to come to know God. Right? So, as many as were ordained to eternal life believe. So if you have been chosen by God from the foundation of the world, well, God would, when someone come and give you that gospel, you would yield yourself to that message and receive. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." So this is a basic doctrinal background, the impetus in which the people of God would want to go out and share the gospel to the people around us, to let them know the way to God, to let them know the way of salvation through Jesus Christ. Right? Whosoever believeth, so whosoever, who can this be? Well, whosoever who would come to the sound of the gospel, who would receive that tract, who would be willing to read, right? As we said, one of our brethren here, right, received a tract in a remote jungle. And he received that one little tract and he believed, became a Christian. Very interesting, isn't it? How God can use His word to save men and women. And Paul understood this truth. And he tells us, that's why, you know, he wrote many epistles, many letters, right, in which he shared with us about our spiritual life. And he tells us, in this text in Ephesians 1:3-6, the origin of the church, that we are chosen by the Father, right, purchased by the Son, and sealed by the Holy Spirit, right? Chosen by the Father, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. So what God is saying to us here, right, is that He has chosen a people out for Himself. Right? That's the meaning of the word church. A people whom He will save. Right? Whom He would call out. That's the meaning of the word church. And this He had already, right, what He tells us, chosen us before the foundation of the world. So if you ask, so you ask yourself, how come I'm here in church? Well, because the Lord has ordained you to eternal life. That's why He has brought you. You don't come on your own. Well, it's the Lord who draws you. This is what we call the irresistible grace of God. And the second thought, publishing of the word and the persecuting of the saints. And the word of God was published throughout the region. So there, Paul speak to the people in the synagogue. And there were those who believed. And those who believed took the message and go out.
All right.
Now, we are a little group here. But in this estate, this constituency that is all around with many blocks of flats, many people, right? Our mission field is not here, but all over. That's what we are urging all of us to do. Go out. Give the gospel, the church, right? The church is, well, it's here. Right? But you find that there are many whom God has already chosen to eternal life, waiting for you to bring that message. Right. And that's why, you know, He would cause us to study a book by the Acts of the Apostles, so that we may know and understand the will of God, so that we may be acquainted to understand what He wants us to do, and that we will take time to go out and give a tract to somebody, share the word with somebody, so that as many as are ordained to eternal life may come. And so this was what Paul did when he came to Antioch, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. The people went out, shared. Those who were converted went out, brought people in. You know, we are as strong as we are able, energized by God to do this work. But the Jews stirred up the devout and the honorable men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas. So you see, right, that if you do this work, opposition will come. Be prepared. Right? The Jews were stirred up. Right? But what did they do? Well, they left the place. Right? They left the place. Verse 51 says, "But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came to Iconium." So they left the place, right? They shook off the feet of... Remember when we were studying the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus first sent out the disciples. We said that it is a divine commission, divine mandate with a divine purpose. And God gave them ability to heal men, do all sorts of miracles. Divine capability, divine message, divine power, and divine commissariat, divine means, divine provision. God was there with them. And finally, we said divine criterion, divine method, divine pattern. What did God say to them? "When you come to a house and salute it, if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you." He is not against you, but He is against the Lord who sent you. "And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." So, you know, our brother said, "I was saved by just one tract in the jungle." But now we are putting a tract pack of 7 tracts. So indeed, the people who receive it must be most privileged, isn't it? You are given the word, a wholesome word, entire pack of it. Ah, so we realize that, you know, we are privileged to be able to assemble resources and privileged to be able to send them out. And so we have the encouragement from the Lord that He will use it to save souls. Right? All who would ordain to eternal life, He would save. And so, the Lord tells us that there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The Lord is the same unto all that call upon Him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went out into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. Thank God that God has raised up for us men and women who will be willing to share the gospel. So now we have a tracting team. Every first week, every third week, they will be out there sharing the gospel, giving tracts to men and women. Well, I say, keep up the good work, because the Lord will reward you richly, handsomely, for all that you have done for the Lord. Two thoughts that we have today. Salvation of the appointed. God knows who is to be saved. And God directs everything, you see. We are merely unworthy instruments for the Lord. And publishing of the word and the persecuting of the saints. When you go out, you are willing to do that, there will be some who would reject you. There will be some who would, throw cold water at you. But do not be discouraged. This was what Paul went through during the early days. And he says, out of it all, the Lord delivered me. So may we be encouraged to be an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we pray and ask that Thou would show us, give us the courage, the boldness to be Thy ambassador. Indeed, we will triumph in Christ because of who You are, and also because You have ordained some to eternal life. We don't know who they are, but Lord, may Thy Spirit lead us to them, that they indeed may hear the gospel and be saved. And Lord, I pray that Thou also grant Thy people the strength to endure the persecution, affliction, for the sake of the gospel. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.